everybody. I'm Philip Pike. I'm the energy manager at the university. And I see the energy bills. I guess most of you don't. Just briefly, is there anyone here who's not in the IT business? Okay, just a couple. So I'm not an IT person, but so I see the bills. We've got one site. We're paying over £500,000 a month for our energy bills. Some of the facts: an estate of over 500,000 square metres, 225 buildings, 100 million kilowatt hours of electricity a year, almost the same amount of gas, 74,000 tonnes of CO2, which is a number that's looming large in recent discussions we're having regarding climate change commitment, people and planet, league tables and the like. Energy costs this year, we had a £7 million increase just for electricity. And looking back in time, our energy costs have increased by 400% in the last 5 years, and consumption up 37%. So that's a large increase. And in my department, estates, we've got 60 people, and our regime, dictated or encouraged by our IT manager, is switch off your computer at night when you're not in use. As an aside, I hope you've all got left your PCs off in your office while you're at the conference, but I won't ask for a show of hands. They're doing my energy surveys, going around to a department like physics, where they've got over 1,000 PCs. Their regime is to leave computers on all the time. And Central Environment, again, did a survey there. Their regime was leave your PCs on all the time, or updates, remote access. So I felt a bit frustrated, because what could I do to bring down the energy costs of the university when we've got IT departments in large buildings saying leave your computers on all the time? So it's good to hear that this is making progress. And I had hoped to show you a graph showing this is the energy savings that we've made, but as Jeff said, progress is very slow, trying to encourage users to implement this wake on land system. It's also been good to hear from Professor Jeffries about moving towards central servers. That's something, again, that will show big energy savings. And I'll come on to that a bit later on. Some of my problems. People say, well, you've got all these old buildings. We've got 11 grade 1 listed buildings and quite a number of grade 2 listed. But they're not the issue. They're very basic buildings, very low IT use, very simple heating systems. We do have continuous new development. Most of our new buildings going up are highly serviced laboratories. We've got just a general 3% growth in our electricity use if we ignore new buildings that are going up. IT loads are increasing. We see that all the time. This building, for example, doing a survey of this, I'll show a graph of the electricity consumption later, but we found that the IT loads are about 40 or 50 kilowatts continuous. Basically, the main server room, the associated cooling. They've flooded this with data points. There's probably 5,000 data points in the building. You see there's a point for each seat here in the lecture theatre. But I'm wondering, in the future, with all this wireless networking, do we need so many data points in a room like this? Do we need servers in the building? If you've got influence in the design of new buildings, maybe we can do away with so many wired IT points and so many server rooms. If you feel that's the case, then do push that in any specifications in new buildings. As I said, departments' budgets are under pressure, especially this year with the high increase in costs. How many of you have seen one of these before? Oh, good. This is the one for this building, and you would have walked past it in coming to this lecture theatre. You can see it's a D rate at the moment. Not too bad for this size building. One reason is it's open from 8 in the morning to about midnight, 7 days a week. Very intensively used. But I believe that by implementing some of the measures that we're discussing today, that will have a significant effect on the energy consumption in the building, therefore the CO2 emissions. And it's possible, you see the numbered bands, that you could, even with changes in your IT strategy, go up a level from D to a C. And this is something that's on public display for many buildings, and it's renewed annually. So we'll take the latest energy consumption figures and then put a new one up towards the end of the year. So again, it'd be good to see an improvement in our buildings. Numerical stuff. Some of our newer buildings, we put sub-meters in as required by building regulations, so we can get an idea where the electricity is going. Comparing two here, IEB, that's the Information Engineering Building, quite a lot of IT work going on there, and then Classics Building in St Giles, more of a traditional department which has been extended recently. They've both got server rooms, we've both got meters on the server rooms. Obviously IEB, electricity consumption 259 kilowatt hours per square meter against Classics of 76. The users, that's the electricity used by lighting and plug-in loads, a big difference again, 97 against 44. But the server room in IEB is using 69 kilowatt hours per square meter. That's almost the whole of the Classics building electricity consumption. And I keep reminding people that, okay, we've got plant loads which service the building, like the ventilation system for this building, but the users, you're in control of your lights, so you're in control of your PCs. So there's a lot that you can do to influence energy consumption. We are putting in our own electricity meters in many of the buildings. Quite often we use our own electricity 11 kV network to service the buildings, and we put one of these type of meters in each building. And to record all sorts of parameters for electricity consumption. What we've done, we've networked these meters, and this is a diagram from our web browser that anyone in the university can access. This is one of our campuses, and we've got in red the electricity distribution. Each one of these is a meter, and the three colours are the three phase currents, and if you can actually, there's a digit there, it's 275, that's 275 amps, but that yellow phase is pulling at that particular time in the building. So we have live information coming up which someone can look at to see how much current they're pulling in their particular building. And then you can go down a level, click on a particular meter, you can look at all sorts of parameters for that particular building. And then in some cases, where we have a network of sub-meters, which are then wired back to the main building meter, the user can click down and look at their individual meter on a distribution board and see what the load is. And that this is a distribution board in one of the in the computing services building. You can see, again, the 5 weekdays, the load's going up to 13 kilowatts, but at night we've still got a 6 kilowatt base load, but it's gives information down to a particular area of the building, and they can maybe investigate what is going on, what is being left on at night, and what is running. So again, it's a very useful tool for departments to find out where their electricity is being used. I mentioned the physics department earlier, and Ian MacArthur's here, and they've got a 200-300 kilowatt load, and they think, where is electricity going, even at night? So we're slowly putting in tens of submeters, which will then be networked back, and they can do a much more detailed analysis on where is electricity being used, and then hopefully reduce it. Information engineering, this is a week of electricity. The red line is last week. Again, you can see it's running at this time. Note the axis, it says kilowatt hours, so you have to double it for a kilowatt load. But their base load is about 100 kilowatts. So, and then the blue line is what it was the Christmas week, just after Christmas, running at about 76 kilowatts. And there's very little daytime use, so you can see, I guess not many people are coming in switching lights on, but still quite a high load for a building that is empty over Christmas. And my guess is most of that is IT related, either in server rooms or PCs being left on. This building, again, similar period last week against Christmas. Again, their base load is about the same, 70 to 80 kilowatts. Again, mainly IT related. you might say people came in over the Christmas week, but I think a lot of the equipment was running. I'm sure it was open for MBA students to come and do some work. What we do also with our network of electricity meters, we collect the half-hourly data and keep it on a database, and then we are comparing it with exceptions. We generate high and low targets, plus or minus 25% of a four-week average for each half-hour period. So those are the two lines. The upper line is the high target, and the lower line is the low target. And then if the actual consumption, these yellow bars, exceeds or falls outside the range of the two targets, it generates an exception, which is these two red bars here. And then an exception report is automatically emailed through to the building manager on a daily basis if an exception occurs. And then the data at the bottom, we just put a cost equivalent of the exception. So even for a half-hour period, that exception is on £3 worth of electricity. And the building manager there at this particular building did some investigation and thought, you know, what's going on this time in the morning when half past 5 in the morning, there's hardly anyone in the building. Went and looked at the building management system, which controls the ventilation and the heating, and found that the time clock there was 1 hour fast. So fortunately, we found what the cause of it. And the next graph is for that week. So it shows the exception the first 3 days. And then on the Wednesday, we reset the time clock. So the exception didn't occur on Thursday and Friday. Again, the system is set up so that the weekly reports are sent out to the buildings regardless of if there is an exception. I find it quite useful to look at the week just to see what the trend is, whether it's a weather-related or... Obviously, it's affected by the historic targets. If there was a bank holiday or two, then that will pull down the four-week average. But it's still a very useful tool, and it's being well-received by... departments, and it's something that we still want to roll out to more buildings as our estate expands. Some of the things that I'm doing to try and reduce energy use in the university: we're working with departments. Departments pay their own energy bills, and so it's in their interest to reduce energy consumption. We've got a basic toolkit that Kate Howden and myself have developed, and it gives a kind of a checklist. This is what you're responsible for. This is what you can do to reduce energy use. Basic one is to check your occupancy hours. Do you need the heating coming on at 6 in the morning when nobody's there till 8? Do you need it to run at weekends? If not, then we can change your hours. Trying to encourage staff and students to switch off lights. Switch off computers, printers, copiers if they're not needed. Even controlling the radiators. If you're too hot, turn the radiator down before you open the windows. Explaining a bit more about the Wake on LAN system and other steps you can take to reduce IT energy consumption. And obviously lab equipment as well. There's a lot of fridges, freezers, cold rooms, drying cabinets. Do you need to run them night, weekend? You need to have them on when they're empty and doing nothing. There's a lot that the department and the user can do to reduce energy consumption. And obviously, estates are taking action as well. Behind the scenes, in the plant rooms, in the boiler rooms, we're just going around checking heating controls. And unfortunately, we thought we had a good maintenance system, but every room we've been into so far, we've found something that's been wrong, that's been broken, that we've had to correct, and we're making energy savings. It's unfortunate that most people, if they're cold, they complain in the winter, but if they're too hot, they just open the windows. And so we're finding that many buildings are being overheated, especially in the spring, and so we're having to readjust the controls. A couple of buildings have said, we don't need the buildings heated at weekends. Can we turn the heating off? So that's been done. We're making big savings there. Variable speed drives for fans and pumps. lighting controls. In this building, we've put daylight sensors in the entrance foyer where you have your coffee, in the library upstairs. It turns the lights off if the daylight levels are very high. And it's working, good. Lecture theatres such as this, we plan to put controls in the lighting so that when there's nobody in, the lights are turned off. Obviously, building fabric, when we're re-roofing, we increase the levels of insulation. If we're replacing boilers and chillers, we put in more modern, efficient devices. And we're looking at heat recovery as well in large laboratories which have got a lot of ventilation loads. So it's all good stuff. There's all a lot to be done. And as many of you are aware of this government carbon reduction commitment that's coming in next year, where each large organisation such as Oxford has to declare its carbon emissions, and then we'll be in a league table, and then we shall be publicised as to how well we're doing trying to reduce our carbon emissions, and there's a financial penalty maybe if we're going down the league table, performing poorly. So all that we're talking about today has a big knock-on effect, not just saving money and saving carbon, but again, reputation as well. So I welcome today, and I hope that you go back and take something positive out of what you're hearing and implement change in your organisation. Thank you very much.